Well, good morning again. It is good to be with you guys. It is still strange to look into a phone in the middle of my living room with all my family here. But it is good, at least as Jen was just praying, that we're able to connect over the internet, Facebook, however we're joining. And I love you guys. I miss you like crazy. And I'm so excited that we are going to be back on campus this month. In just a couple weeks, we will see you guys. And I'm so excited about that. And so that's part of the reason why you hear me celebrating even during communion. I just hardly contain it. Just that the body of Christ doesn't just have to be doing it online, that some of us get together. So anyways, looking forward to that. Hopefully some of you are looking forward to that, seeing you guys, loving on you. And we'll give you more details about all the expectations of that online in, you know, the next couple days. But I just want to make sure you guys are aware we're working hard to get back on campus. So I'm excited about that. Really quick, I wasn't going to share this, but I think I will. Jen was talking about our COVID testing got extended for another month, and I want to let you know why. I had thought that my plan was to get us back on campus right after the COVID testing was over with, just that we could have our whole campus clean and sanitary and there would be nobody with the virus on our campus, and then we would be back on campus for services. But the Lord, I love it. He's got a different plan, and I love when He's got a plan. It's always better than ours, right? And I was contacted by a congressman, actually, and Congressman Tony Cardenas called me and said that he had been looking everywhere for another place to have this testing take place in his district and couldn't find a place anywhere. And so he was begging and pleading if we could keep doing it here. And I told him, I said, the number one reason why I would say no is because I'm planning to get my congregation back on our campus. We haven't been there for months, and I need to get them back on there. So I just don't know if it's going to work. And so I love how God does this. It's a huge confirmation for me. And so I'm just sharing as a testimony. I had a congressman, so not even just like a local Arleta council member, not even a mayor, but all the way up to the federal level. I had a congressman tell me, Pastor, whatever it takes, I want you to have your congregation back on your campus. What can I do? You have all my resources at your hand to get your congregation back on your campus. And I was like, oh my goodness, God, you're so good. So I had to share that testimony. It's not a bad thing. We are partnering. That's just part of how the board got together and prayed about all this. And that is part of our heart as a church, is we are a neighborhood church. We want to be a blessing to our community. Yes. We love having people who are not part of our church on our campus, yeah, experiencing the love of God, the presence of God. Yeah. So I'm all ears if anyone has ideas of how to bless those people as they come, for you to be praying for them as they are on our campus. And we are, just as I think Jen explained all this, but we're going to do our best. The congressman has given us a machine to help sanitize and clean our courtyard before we gather on Wednesday nights. But we're doing everything we can to make it safe and wise for us to be back on campus. But I'm so excited. So I just had to share that quick testimony. Looking forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday. Again, we're testing it out this Wednesday, August 5th. We're just going to have a handful of leadership there just to test the cleaning process, the machine, how it works, and make sure everything is actually running smooth with the testing on our property. And then I'm thinking we'll have a green light for the 12th. So anyways, love you guys. Excited about that. Had to talk about that. Who here? I'm even asking my kids in the room. This is always a scary question for a pastor to ask. Who here remembers what we talked about last Sunday? Does anyone remember what our topic was?
Wisdom.
All right, good. Pastor's kids got it. You guys passed the test. Wisdom. We were launching into wisdom. That was our title for our message last Sunday, launching into wisdom. And the title for this morning's message is Wisdom 2.0. Wisdom 2.0. If you remember last week, I was talking about, I believe that where the Lord has taken us as a church, wisdom, the wisdom that we have right now, our level of wisdom is not going to be sufficient for where God is taking us. And so I'm thinking about how software developers, when they develop this new software, it's, you know, version 1.0, and then there's all these iterations, 1.2, 1.4, and then eventually they come out with version 2.0, you know, and that's the new revised version, the better version of the software. And so I was thinking, that's what I want to talk about today, is that I know a lot of you guys do have a level of wisdom. I have a level of wisdom, but I want more than just good wisdom, I want a better wisdom. I want the wisdom that God is saying we need for this next season. Yeah. And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about today, is wisdom 2.0. Let's go to the next level. Mm-hmm. And there's actually two different kinds of wisdom. If you read through scripture, there's different places to talk about it. James does a great job of talking about how there's two different types or two different versions of wisdom. And James does a great job of explaining how one is actually good and one's bad. And then we'll talk a little bit later about how there could be a good version and even a better version. So let me get down to my notes here. So in James chapter 3, that's where we're going to head first. James chapter 3, I'm going to have the verses up here. Hopefully you can read it with me. I know some of them, like this one, are going to be really long and real small words for you. But if you want, I'll be reading out of the Passion Translation. I think I might jump to the New Living Translation. And I know for sure I'll hit the New King James. That's my favorite, New King James. But the Passion Translation is going to get used several times today too. So James chapter 3 is going to give us some reference about this two different types of wisdom. So let's start in verse 13. I think we can read it right here, right? If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. I love that. If you think you're wise, then advertise the wisdom you think you have with this beautiful gentleness. Sometimes I picture people that are super intellectual, super smart. They come across as arrogant. And I love that God's word is saying, no, actually, if you're wise and you think you're wise, then you should be very gentle. And you should have this fruitful life, right? It's not all self-centered. And so let's keep writing what it talks about. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. But if there's bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can be best described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So you catch that? Are you catching the two different types of wisdom going on right now? I think I got them underlined, right? Mm-hmm. Heavenly wisdom and worldly wisdom. There's a difference. There is a difference between the wisdom that this world has and will tell you how to operate your life and what you should be thinking about and the decisions and why you should make decisions the way you should. And then there's heavenly wisdom. And so I'm saying that I don't want us just to have wisdom that's just practical or helps us make good financial decisions or helps life to go better for us. We talked about last Sunday, right? There's all kinds of wisdom that just makes your life go better. But James is saying, actually, there's a wisdom this world tries to promote, and then there's heavenly wisdom. And he's contrasting the both. He's saying that the wisdom of this world is devilish, right? That it comes not from God. It comes from the devil himself. And I just was talking to somebody else recently about how the devil, he does this. He takes God's even word, right? He even came to Jesus and tempted him with Jesus' own word. When he came to Adam and Eve, he took the things that God said. Did he really say that? You know, he takes most everything true and he just twists a little bit. Even if it's only 1%, it can be 99% true. But as soon as the devil gets a hold of wisdom, it's going to become twisted. It's going to become perverted. It's going to be something that is not going to be beneficial. And so James is making this distinction. You've got to be able to discern the difference between worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. He gives us some examples right here already of what worldly wisdom looks like. Now let's go to the next verse, verse 17. And he says this, but the wisdom that is from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. And it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts. I love this verse. This to me describes wisdom 2.0. It describes the wisdom that God is saying that we need to move into this next season. As a church, we need wisdom to look like this. We need our lives to look like this. If you want wisdom, this is the kind of wisdom you need to have. And it's to me, there's 8 things. In this Passion Translation, it kind of gives like 7-ish. It kind of lumps 2 together. New King James, that's my favorite. There's 8, so I'm going to give you from New King James. It's godly wisdom is pure, number 1. Number 2, peaceable. You'll see these things in there. Gentle, willing to yield. I love that one, willing to yield. Now, I don't love doing it always, but I love the truth that's behind that. Number 5, merciful. Number 6, full of good fruits. 7, without partiality. 8, without hypocrisy. I encourage you. I've been trying just yesterday, as I was putting this verse into my notes, I was trying to memorize it. I was trying to, okay, God, what are the 8 attributes of godly wisdom, of wisdom 2.0? So that could be some of your homework that your pastor's giving you. Memorize this scripture, whether, I don't care what translation, but memorize the points that James is pointing out of wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that is heavenly, godly wisdom. That's what we are to pursue in this next season of our life. It needs to look like this, where it's willing to yield. That's probably a big one for me. I feel like there's a lot of things going on, a lot of truths, I'll put in quotation mark, truths that you hear from Democrats, from Republicans, from this church denomination, They'll tell you, well, if you're really following God, then you would defy everything the government has to say and you'll be in church and be shoulder to shoulder, singing as loud as you can. And there's truth to that. But what does godly wisdom look like? And there's other churches that say, well, we'll just, you know, you have to kowtow to everything the government says, and you have to do everything the way they say it. There's truth to that. But what does godly wisdom say? And to me, that's what I want to get down to. I don't want to get caught up in worldly wisdom. I don't want to get caught up in what other people of this world will say. And you know what? Even other spiritual leaders, politicians, and even the pastors, don't even just listen to your pastor's sake. Listen to what the Lord is telling you. Let's pursue godly wisdom. Don't just look to your pastor for godly wisdom. Let's look to God. What is he saying in all of this? What is his wisdom? And I love that it's pure. It's unadulterated. It's not filtered in with other selfish thoughts or deeds. It's not trying to prove yourself right. It's not clinging to your own rights. It's willing to yield. I guess that's the big one for me. Willing to yield. The wisdom that God is calling us as a church is, it's got to look that way. It's got to be willing to yield no matter what. Whether, I mean, I'm just going to say it, face masks, all those things, they're just conversations like, well, I hate wearing face masks. I don't want to wear them. Okay, but are you willing to yield? Are you willing to wear them? Well, you know what? Everyone should be wearing face masks. And that person is it. Oh, I can't stand it. They're so inconsiderate. No, are you willing to yield? Are you willing to be full of grace and pure and merciful, full of good fruits, right? So this is a good one to chew on. I love, we're going to, in a second, go from James to 1 Corinthians. And we're not going to go to chapter 8, but I just love this idea where it's describing, James is describing wisdom 2.0. And in 1 Corinthians 8.1, it says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And I love that. Knowledge puffs up. Well, I can say, well, I'm more informed. I know what's going on about COVID. I know more than Dr. Fauci. He's an idiot, you know, or whatever it is. Like, we think that we know these things. As soon as we know information, it puffs us up. And that's not wisdom. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So wisdom is saying, okay, how do I build the church? How do I partner with Christ? He says he's going to build the church and the gates of hell won't prevail. So how do I partner with Jesus in building the church, building his kingdom? Even if it's not just the church, how do I build his kingdom even in my own local government? How do I promote wisdom? How do I promote all these things without beating my government over the head and saying they're idiots? How do I show them in a loving, kind way that builds them up? Amen? Is that making sense? This idea of wisdom looks different than sometimes our own knowledge. So let's transition. Now James, we're talking about wisdom 2.0. James does a great job. Now we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to look at the entire chapter. So there's a lot to read in here. I will do my best not to bore you, just read, but hopefully talk and explain a little bit as we go. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to get our fingers maybe dirty if you're using your app or you're using your own Bible. I'm giving you a second to get there. Again, it'll be right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, talks about wisdom throughout the whole chapter. So let's read it. It says this, "My brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert, trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom. For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with reverence for God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words." So let's stop there just for a second. This is Paul. And if you've read the New Testament, you know that Paul, he's actually pretty eloquent. He's a great writer. He even gives his own testimony that he's a Pharisee of Pharisees, that he knows God's word. He's memorized it. The whole Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, he had it memorized. First five books. I mean, he was a very educated and smart guy. Read the New Testament. Read all the books he wrote. He laid out doctrine. He laid out the Christian theology. And he's saying, you know what? When I came to you in Corinth, I didn't come to you trying to prove to you that I'm full of wisdom. So I didn't care about wisdom. I just wanted you to understand the power of God. I was willing to lay down my intellect and say, you know what? You don't care about intellectual things. You're going to care about the power of God changing your life. And I feel like this is what God is saying. This wisdom 2.0, it's not about proving that I have a better argument, that I have better information, that I'm more informed than you. It's saying, no, let me show you and exemplify the power of God. That's what God is calling the church, you and I, in this new season, is that we are not caught up in this game of arguing position. Paul's saying, I don't care about position or status. I'm saying, I just want you to experience and encounter the power and love of Jesus. I'm just preaching to you Jesus. That's it. And I love that Paul does that because he's able. Read Romans. Read all the different books of the Bible that Paul wrote. He is able to lay forth a well argument and prove that he's right and that the Gentiles were wrong or that the Pharisees were wrong. I mean, he could lay it all out. But in this instance, he's saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to prove to you. I'm going to show you and demonstrate the power of God. And I think that's the season us as a church, we are moving into. People don't want to argue. People don't want to be proven wrong. They want to encounter the presence of God. They want to see a miracle, the testimony of what God has done of our lives and that he can do it for you. Let me show you. Let me show you the power of God. Even Carrie during the hot seat, she shared about how when she came to the church again, she just felt like she needed to bring the family back to church. They were desperate and her firstborn son was sick and they didn't know what was going on. And pastor laid hands over him and he was healed in that instant. It changed that whole family. The whole Rolls family was forever marked and changed because of the power of God that was demonstrated. Not because a pastor gave an eloquent sermon that Sunday morning. It was because there was love and genuine care and concern of that baby. And they prayed and the power of God was on display. And that's what I am believing. This wisdom, this 2.0, is that we are not caught up in all these intellectual games. But that we are demonstrating the power of God. All right, so let's keep going. We got a lot to read in this chapter. So we just read the first few verses. Next one, verse 4. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. I love verse 5. That's another one that I'm going to try to memorize. I encourage you. That's a big one. Our faith, our Christianity is not to be built on man's wisdom. I don't want you to just listen to your pastor and everything is built on the words that I say. No, I want you to build your faith on the power of God, who he is, his almighty power, that we are trusting in his almighty power. That's so important. Yes, I get it. Wisdom is so important. Truths of God's word, they're the principles, they're the bedrock, they're the cornerstone, the foundations of who Jesus Christ is. But there's this idea when he's building the church, great, we've got the foundation. Now let's keep building. And it's on the power of God. It's not just on us, right? Jesus, when he talked to his disciples, they were born again, right? They knew who Jesus was. But he's saying, don't do anything. Don't even try to build the church. Wait and tarry until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he empowers you. And the power of God fills you. Then go out and demonstrate. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, all these things. And the church will explode as the power of God is on demonstration. And that's why I feel like God is doing this 2.0. He's bringing another version, right? It's not that he is trying to do out with the old and with the new. No, he's trying to revive that early church. The way that the New Testament church looked, that's what we are to look like today. Full of power. What Paul is saying, sometimes he came in eloquent speech. Other times he just demonstrated the power of God. Can we do both? Can we be well-educated and know God's word and lay out a well-educated argument against someone who is intellectually smart? I mean, I love that. Talk about Lee Strobel, right? He wrote The Case for Christ. If you haven't seen that movie, watch the movie. But Lee Strobel, this high intellect. And it says that reason, he used reason and that wisdom 1.0 brought him to Christ at some point. But at some point, he had to take a leap across the line and say, you know what? Reason brought me to the fact that this actually Christianity, it's not weak. It doesn't have a weak argument. It's actually got a strong argument. But eventually, he had to jump across with faith and say, all right, I'm committing to believe this is the truth. And we're going to get into how important that is in these next few verses. So we just read 4 and 5. Verse 6. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages, to bring us into glory. All right, there's a lot of words there. I don't know if you're tracking everything that Paul's saying, but he's saying that in the beginning, he's saying there's this wisdom that I talk about when I'm with spiritually mature people. Most people, they don't understand this spiritual wisdom. They understand the basics, but there's this profound 2.0 wisdom that can only be understood when you're spiritually mature. And it's this wisdom that has been hidden for the ages. that the rulers of this world, they don't have it. They don't know it. They were confused by it. They don't understand the wisdom of God, but it's being revealed. And this revelation is that God is bringing his glory into us, that he wants to reveal his glory to us. This is important. So this is kind of setting the stage for where we're headed next. So that was all the way through verse 7, I think. So let's go to the next verse. Verse 8. None of the rulers of this present world or world order understood it. For if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. This is what the scriptures say. Things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. I love this. This, we just took communion, right? And I just talked about this being one of the most difficult, painful, most tragic days, Friday, Good Friday, right? His disciples, his family, his best friends, this was the worst day, the worst thing that could ever happen. The Savior, the Messiah, was crucified on a cross. And so the wisdom that they had and the wisdom that even the devil had, this was horrible. This was a tragedy. But God's wisdom 2.0, oh, this was the best day in mankind. This was Good Friday. It turned the wisdom of this world up on its head. God's wisdom makes the wisdom of this world look foolish. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. That's what Paul is describing. That the rulers of this world, man, if they actually understood God's 2.0 wisdom, they never would have nailed Jesus to the cross. If they actually understood what God was setting the stage for, they would have done everything to keep Jesus off that cross. But again, they have wisdom 1.0. They're fools. It's devilish. They don't understand. And God is saying, I'm revealing to you this mystery that was hidden for all the ages, that it was Christ who was crucified, the Lamb of God who was crucified before the foundations of the earth. It's hidden. There's treasures. There's wisdom that is hidden in Christ that the enemy still does not know. Do you know that? There is still wisdom, just like when Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago, the devil was completely oblivious to. It's still true today. There is wisdom hidden in Christ that the devil is completely unaware of. And I'm being honest with you, it's things that you and I are unaware of at this point. I'm just being honest with you. There's things that we're going through right now that we don't see all the things that God is accomplishing. Right. As we just took communion, I'm saying we're supposed to celebrate. Even us being quarantined, even us not being able to gather together, it doesn't make sense. But God has a wisdom that's above our wisdom. His ways, his thoughts, they're above ours. And he's saying, I want to give you this wisdom. I want to reveal to you this hidden mystery. But you've got to get to know me. So let's keep reading these verses. It's been hidden, but they can be discovered. So now in verse 10, right? So right next. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he's revealed to us his innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. So how do you get wisdom 2.0? How do you get heavenly wisdom? How do you get this wisdom that's beyond understanding? It's by his Spirit. Who can understand the Spirit of God? Only the Spirit of God. How is it revealed to you? By the Holy Spirit. In other translation, deep cries unto deep. The deep things of God are crying out to the deep parts of your life. The things where you are deeply wanting to understand, God, what are you doing? I'm so confused. Why would you allow pain? Why would you allow tragedy? Why would you keep the church separated? Why would you do these things? And he's saying, deep cries out to deep. As you deeply cry out to me, as you are searching for answers, my Holy Spirit, he will reveal to you what can only be revealed by my Spirit. You'll never find it by exploring all the depths of your own knowledge. You'll never get there. By asking other people of this world, trying to figure it out, you'll never attain it. It's only by spending time with me, getting intimate with my Spirit, and allowing my Spirit to reach into the deep things of your heart and reveal to you the heart of the Father. It's so important. Wisdom 2.0, we're only going to gain it by being filled with the Spirit, by being renewed by the Spirit every day. So keep going. Verse 12, this is good stuff. Verse 12, for we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God. You have received the Holy Spirit. so he can reveal to you, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace that has been lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. So do you get that? As we're talking about all these things, I'm applying them to current circumstances. I'm talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. Whatever it is, these things that are going on in our world today, you are being told to take a position. You need to support Black Lives Matter, or you need to reject them. You got to pick sides. You need to be in support of the government, or you need to reject the government and how they're handling the coronavirus. You've got to pick a side. And God is saying, hold on, hold on. You need Spirit-filled words for those arguments. Don't look to the world for wisdom. Don't listen to the news. Don't figure out how you should articulate your arguments based on what some man is telling you. No, spend time with me. Listen to me. What am I saying? And the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in these arguments. You know, in one of our family devotions, I reminded my family a long time ago, we had a devotion about how there was a pastor that kept reminding his family, saying, you know what? Every time you talk to a stranger, try to find a way to bring the conversation back to Christ. And he says, it's like a game for me. When I'm at the grocery store, when I'm at a restaurant, and there's a waitress coming, and I'm meeting somebody, he's like, my mind right away, it's a competition. How do I steer this conversation into Christ somehow? How do I get them to know that I love Jesus? And not to be weird, and he's like, I just want to try to do the most natural way, but I don't want to leave that conversation. I want to leave that opportunity without bringing them to Christ. And because he has this heart's desire, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit gives them words to say. The Holy Spirit infuses them with the right words to say. And as this pastor, he's like, I wasn't even an evangelist. He goes, but as I started this, man, people were coming to Christ all over the place. As I just tried to bring Jesus as the topic, as we talked about Paul, man, I didn't try to be eloquent. I don't know all theology. I don't know how to explain to you the Trinity. But you know what? I'm just trying to share Jesus with you. And as you do, the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say. So I just want to encourage you. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to know the Bible forward and backwards. You don't have to have read the entire Bible to be able to share the words of Christ with other people. And so this is a scripture to help you understand that. And I was, practical. Friday, 2 days ago, I got to be with some family friends, and their brother just accepted Christ. After decades and decades of that family praying for them and loving on them, they finally gave their life to Christ. And I was talking to this guy because we went to the beach, and he got baptized at the beach on Friday. And so after he got baptized, I was talking to him. And I said, so how long have you been a Christian? Tell me your story. And he was just sharing with me, man, he's like, you know, I've heard, my brother-in-law is a pastor, I have heard the truth of God's word for years. He's like, but it never made sense to me. I never really understood it. Like, there were some things that kind of made sense, but a lot of it didn't make logical sense. I mean, Jesus, why would Jesus have to die? Like, this, couldn't there be a better way? You know, if God is loving, then why is there pain in the world? He's like, it just didn't make sense in my head. There was too many question marks. And so I was never going to commit to being a Christian because it didn't make sense in my brain. And it came to a point where there was some kind of, it wasn't this major crisis, but a crisis in his life. And he said, you know what? I just don't have peace. I never have peace. And so just in a small conversation at his home, his sister said, well, why don't you just ask Jesus? I mean, you've tried all these other things. Can you just try saying a simple prayer and ask Jesus to forgive you of trying to do it on your own and ask him if he'll help you? And he's like, I guess. Like, I've tried everything else. So it wasn't this like huge, desperate cry. He's like, sure. And so he said the sinner's prayer. And can I tell you, when he was telling me his testimony, he just lit up. He's like, and oh my goodness. He's like, all the things that were confusing to me, like in an instant, they all made sense. He's like, I read the Bible now and it makes complete sense. I understand what I read now. Before I read this, and I was like, it was just this religious hubbub stuff. I didn't understand it. He's like, but every time I read this now, the Holy Spirit reveals to me what it actually means. He's like, I don't go a day since March. I haven't gone a day of my life without reading God's word because it makes sense to me now. The Holy Spirit is revealing to me what it actually means. And so that's what Paul is saying here. To have wisdom 2.0, you can't just spend your own time with your own reasoning in God's word. No, you need to spend time with his presence, in his presence, with the Holy Spirit revealing to you what the words of God say. And the Holy Spirit will bring revelation of God's word. So that's the wisdom we need. Not just more information of God's word, the actual revelation of God's word. Amen. That's wisdom 2.0. All right, where we got? So verse 14, I think we're somewhere right there now. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit. There it is. That's what I was just telling you about. He was rejecting the truth of God's word for years, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they're only discovered by the illuminations of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things. Amen. And they, all things, right? So there's nothing that you can't understand. I love that. No matter what level of education you have, no matter what your age, I got my youngest one going into fourth grade, no matter how old you are in Christ, no matter how old you are, God's word is saying that if you are in Christ and his Spirit is in you and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, he can reveal to you all things. Mm-hmm. You are able to discern and evaluate all things. There's nothing in life that you cannot have discernment for. You are able to understand and have the next verse. It's not even up here. But the next verse to finish off this chapter, it says, who can know the mind of Christ? Who can search the unfathomable things that God is thinking right now? And then Paul says, you have been given the mind of Christ. You have. You can. You can have the wisdom of God. If you are in Christ, you can have the wisdom of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So I love this. I got to finish this off. We just read through a whole chapter and there, I kind of went through verse by verse and I was going to skip this, but I had to throw this in there because this is, there was no chapters and verse when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. So if you keep going from chapter 2 and you go into chapter 13, verse 1, this is kind of where Jesus sometimes, I'm being honest with you, he does this to me. I don't know if he does this to you, but I feel a slap on my face sometimes when I think I know something or I was in error. God, he does that. He's a good father and he disciplines those who he loves. And so this, here's some discipline that Paul was giving the Corinthian church. And I pray that we take it wherever God's word is there, right, to reprove and correct us. So let's take some reproof and correction from God's word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So remember, we just had this whole setting about wisdom. He's talking about wisdom 2.0, how the Holy Spirit can reveal to you these powerful, mysterious things that nobody else would know. And now he's like, all right, but for you guys, like, you're these babies. I have to talk to you like carnal people. So I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you are not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? This is what I'm talking about, picking sides. The wisdom of this world will say, well, the church, they're going to be divided because they're going to argue about this and argue about that. And Paul's saying, man, you bunch of babies. You spend your time arguing about things that really don't matter. If you were actually mature in the Lord, these things would not trip you up. And he's saying, I talk to you like carnal. And I want to explain this really quick. Paul is giving this theological understanding, this doctrine. He's saying that there is the natural man who is not born again, that is not going to heaven. There's a natural man, then there's this carnal man. And as he says that, I spoke to you as carnal, right? Spiritual, carnal, as to babes in Christ. So carnal means you are babes in Christ. You're born again. You're regenerate. You know who Jesus Christ is. You have your ticket to heaven, but that's about all you got. You are not growing from glory to glory. You're this baby who never grows or matures. So you're carnal. You still are very earthly and worldly. And he's saying, I want you to be spiritual. I want to talk about heavier things, but I can't. And so that's what I feel like God is saying to the church at large, but I think he's saying it to Osborne. He's saying it to me. He's saying it to you and I both. He's saying, where I am taking you, this next season that you are in right now, you cannot be carnal. It's time to grow up and to be spiritual people, spiritually minded. This is a correction. This is not just me being mean. This is Paul being mean to the Corinthian church. This is God's word reproving and correcting us. And he's saying it in a loving way, saying it's time to grow up. I want you to be a church where the gates of hell don't prevail. I want there to be a great harvest. And it can't happen if my church are these babies. It can only happen when you are walking in wisdom, discerning the truth. And so this Paul, he's laying it out. And I'm just being honest with you. Too much of us is still carnal. Mm-hmm. Too much of us, I'm talking about wisdom 2.0. There's too much of the church that doesn't even have wisdom 1.0. I mean, just being plain and simple, you have your ticket to heaven. And I'm not trying to point out one of you specifically, but I guess if the shoe fits, wear it. But I'm just trying to say this is God's word. There are people in the church that have their ticket to heaven, and yet they don't apply the truth of God's word. Lying? Well, like, I know I'm not supposed to lie, but it's not that big of a deal. Well, I know I'm not supposed to sleep with somebody until I get married. But, I mean, most of the world does that. I mean, this is wisdom 1.0. This is not 2.0. Wisdom 1.0, there's things that the church is not even getting that. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, we got to get 1.0 and then 2.0. You're not going to get 2.0 unless you got 1.0. It doesn't happen that way. So he's saying, start applying wisdom to every area of your life. The practical wisdom. There is good wisdom. Yes. Practical, good wisdom in God's word. I love that God's word is both. It's full of practical, good wisdom. I mean, God's word is there for every parenting, relationships, finances. Yeah. You name it. God's word gives wisdom 1.0. You want to know what to do with your life? It's plain, black and white. But now there's things that become 2.0 that are not just plain black and white. The Holy Spirit has to give you revelation.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I can't give you 2.0 unless you start applying 1.0.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying not to be mean, but I just wanted you to understand. As a church, you might be saying, yeah, Pastor, I want that 2.0. But I don't know what to say. I mean, if you are sleeping with somebody, you're not married with them, then you're not getting 2.0. If you have sin in your life that you're not dealing with, it's not going to happen. You got to deal with the sin first. Get that right. Then God will get to give you 2.0. All right. I guess just for me, practicals of wisdom 1.0 and 2.0. As I just said, God's word is full of it both. I guess just going through the Old Testament, I think of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham. Wisdom 1.0 is that God gave him a son, Isaac. Wisdom 1.0 is, let's love on this son and cherish him and make him the love of my life. And he does that. He becomes this great father. He's loving on his son. He's doing everything he can, the best he can. And he's waited 100 years to become a dad, right? So he is pouring everything he has into his only son, Isaac. But then wisdom 2.0 starts to knock on the door. All right, Abraham, I want you to take your son and go sacrifice him up on the mountain. Wait, what? Wisdom 1.0 says, God, no, that's not your voice. Because you've never said that before. You've never told any man to sacrifice his son. That's devilish. That's worldly wisdom. God, I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm doing that. Abraham, anything you put before me is an idol. But it's a good thing. It's something you gave me, God. Yeah, that's wisdom 1.0. And you're stewarding it well with wisdom 1.0. Now I'm calling you to a higher level of wisdom 2.0. Sacrifice him. But this doesn't make sense, God. There's no reason or logic behind this. There's nothing that makes sense why I should do this. Right, it's wisdom 2.0. It's beyond your level of thinking. It's beyond understanding. It's a better wisdom. Right? Again, your pastor's favorite Bible verse. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your steps. Sometimes it's a scary prayer. We all want God to direct our steps. Yeah, God, just give me vision. Give me direction. But what if it's something that doesn't make sense? What if it's something that makes no logical reason why God would tell you to do that? Well, I don't want him to direct me to do in that direction. Well, that's wisdom 2.0. God's going to tell you things to do that doesn't line up with wisdom 1.0. I keep going. I mean, the Old Testament is riddled with these stories. Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Wait, God, you want me to march around a city every single day and say nothing? That makes no sense, right? That's wisdom 2.0. All these things, God, the Bible is riddled. Our verse for the year, right? Launch out into the deep. I talked about it last week. Peter, after spending a whole night, 10 hours fishing, just came in, washed his nets, is exhausted going back home, and Jesus tells him, all right, launch back out into the deep and lower down your nets for a catch. Wisdom 1.0, that's a stupid idea. You're a carpenter. You play with wood. You know nothing with fish. I'm not listening to you. That's wisdom 1.0. Wisdom 2.0 is, man, I don't want to do this. It makes no sense whatsoever. But I'm going to acknowledge that he's a rabbi, and I'll just make him happy. I'll just go do what he says. Wisdom 2.0. He got more fish than he's ever gotten his entire life. There's things that God is going to call us to in this new season that's not going to make logical sense. Wisdom 1.0 isn't going to get you there. Wisdom 2.0 has to happen. I could share story after story in my own life, right? Really quick, I've shared the story before, but even in high school, Wisdom 1.0, I saw my friends starting to date. And so one of my other friends, we made a decision. All right, we're not going to date in high school. That's a stupid idea. You're not going to marry the person you date in high school. So we made this pact. Man, we have wisdom. Wisdom 1.0, we got that down. I'm not going to waste my time, my money, all my resources. I mean, what a waste. Like, I'm going to enjoy my high school years and not waste it on some girl I'm not going to marry anyways, right? Wisdom 1.0. And then God started knocking on this guy's heart, Wisdom 2.0. See that girl over there? Yeah, she's my best friend. Yeah, maybe you should date her. God, that is the stupidest idea. Do you not know? Like, look at the track record. This does not make sense. And I argued with God for a while. But praise God, I had enough sense to listen to God. And Wisdom 2.0 prevailed in my life because that was the smartest decision I've ever made in my life, was to listen to God, right? My family, this house right here, it would not have happened had I not listened to Wisdom 2.0. I give you example after example. Leaving AT&T, Wisdom 1.0 was screaming, don't leave this job. Wisdom 2.0, trust God.
Amen.
Can I get more specific? Over these last several months, us not meeting on campus, Wisdom 1.0 was screaming in my head day after day. Ryan, the church needs to be together. It's God's word that we shouldn't forsake the assembly of saints. This church is gathering. This church is gathering. This person has just left the church. This person's called you. This person's emailed you. People are upset with you, Pastor. You should get back. Wisdom 1.0 was screaming, let's get back on campus. But I don't want to be led by Wisdom 1.0.
Amen.
God gave me that verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, as a young boy. I'm not letting go of it. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, God. Everything says to do this, but what do you say, God? What do you want? All right, not my will, your will be done. But I'm telling you, I don't know all the outcomes yet. But I know from a track record of God's goodness, from his faithfulness, Wisdom 2.0 always prevails over Wisdom 1.0. So I'm telling you, I am so excited about us gathering again in the next few weeks because I know God is going to accomplish something. It's for a purpose. I don't see it all yet. I don't know what all God is doing. But I'm excited that God is in control. That God is in control. So what about you? What areas of your life as we're wrapping up this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Specific areas of your life. Where do you need Wisdom 1.0? Maybe it's your finances. I mentioned that already. Maybe you need to get your finances in order. Maybe this is a time where finances are getting tight and God is saying, I'm tightening the belt so that you learn to discipline your finances. Don't spend money on things that don't matter. Wisdom 1.0, begin to save, begin to invest, right? Wisdom 1.0 is probably screaming during this season of our lives. Let's apply Wisdom 1.0 to our finances. Wisdom 2.0 says, all right, let's take it next level. Let's tithe. Maybe you've never tithed before. So during this time of financial insecurity, now's the best time to go to Wisdom 2.0. Trust God. All right, I'm going to start tithing. Even though I have no income coming in, I'm going to start giving something in God. Maybe you've been tithing most of your life. Wisdom 2.0 might be knocking your door saying, all right, let's up it from 10%. Let's do something new. Let's go bigger. Let's go beyond. Let's give to the poor. Let's take care of the widow and the orphan. Let's give to those who are in need. Right? Whatever it is financially, you apply Wisdom 2.0. Relationships. Like I've been harping on Wisdom 1.0. Man, if you don't know if you should be in a relationship with somebody, can I just say this plain and simple? If you're dating somebody and you're not sure, man, can you just go ask your parents? Can you go ask some people in the church that have some wisdom? I mean, wisdom is not lacking in a multitude of counselors. And this might be hard for you because you don't want to hear the wisdom of godly people. But if you want to know what relationships you should be in or not be in, Wisdom 1.0 says, ask some godly people.
Amen.
Wisdom 2.0, man, it goes beyond another level. Wisdom 2.0 says, all right, now that person that you don't like and you don't want to be in a relationship with, I want you to love. I want you to pray for your enemies. I want you to do good to those who hate you. Right? I want you to turn the other cheek. If that person you despise asks you for your outer coat, give them your outer coat and your inner tunic. If they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Right? God's wisdom is that wisdom 2.0. It's not just saying, all right, I'll choose to kind of be nice to him. No, that might be wisdom 1.0. Wisdom 2.0 is to go above and beyond. Relationships, finances, time, right? Are you stewarding your time? Wisdom 1.0, man, you might have more free time right now than you've ever had before. Are you stewarding it with wisdom 1.0? Are you learning things? Are you just watching and binge watching Netflix? Or are you spending time? And I'm just being real with you. Wisdom 1.0 says, let's do something with this time. Let's redeem the time, right? Scripture says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I mean, there's tons of wisdom 1.0 of what you can do with your time. But wisdom 2.0, what is God saying above and beyond that? On Sunday, I want you to rest. I want you to find a Sabbath day. Maybe it's not Sunday. Find a day and don't work at all. Spend that whole day with me. Whatever it is, I want you to apply something. So as we're closing this, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you in all this wisdom 2.0? And as I'm closing, I just want to share this. As you're asking, just ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you. What are you to apply? See, because wisdom is not just information. It's knowing how to rightly apply it to your life. As I was preparing this message, and as I was just praying into it, I felt like the Holy Spirit just dropped these three words into my spirit as I was praying over it. And it was truth, revelation, and conviction. Truth. Truth can be blasted at you all day long. I can hear the truth of God all day long, but it doesn't necessarily transform unless the Holy Spirit is bringing revelation. What does that mean for me in my life, into my current situation? My thought pattern. The words that come out of my mouth, my choices, my decisions of my life. If that truth is not rightly applied, it does me no good. Truth, revelation, I need the Holy Spirit to reveal those things, and then I need a conviction to walk it out. I need to be convinced that I'm not turning back. I am repenting. I used to walk this way, and now I'm turning around. I'm convinced, and I have this conviction that I'm not going to do that anymore. Truth, revelation, conviction. That's going to bring you to wisdom 2.0. You can hear the wisdom of truth, but you need the Holy Spirit. As we just read through 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal to you wisdom 2.0. We need revelation, but then we need a partner. You will not gain a heart of wisdom. You will not gain wisdom 2.0 unless there's a partnership, unless there's you doing your part to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say and then walk it out. Amen? So let's pray to wrap up the service. God, I thank you. I thank you for your word that is living, that's active. God, I thank you that you are preparing us, that you know where you're taking us. God, there's things that are still mysterious to us. We can't tell the future. But God, you own the future. You wrote the future. And you are preparing us for it. God, you have prepared good works beforehand that we might walk in them. God, we don't want to miss anything that you prepared for your church. God, you said that the gates of hell will not prevail. So God, we want to be a mature, spiritual men and women of God. We don't want to be found as carnal babies drinking the milk only. We want to be found, God, when you return, it says, will the Son of Man find wisdom on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find a church that's beautiful, that's radiating his truth and wisdom? God, may it be found in us. Osborne Neighbor Church, may we be a church of wisdom 2.0. Walking it out. Speaking it out. Exemplifying it. So Holy Spirit, continue to reveal those specific areas in our lives, and may we yield. As it says, as we read, that godly wisdom yields. May we yield our hearts to your wisdom this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, thank you guys for being with us this morning. I pray that this message blessed you, that you learned something, but more than just learned, that wisdom 2.0 is being infused in our church. Amen. God bless you guys. We will see you on Facebook throughout the week, and we'll see you on campus soon. Love you.